So, hi everybody, welcome to today's PowerShell panel discussion. We've managed to line up quite a few of the PowerShell legends here today. So let's get introduced. I'm Jonathan Medd. I'm not a legend, but I'm from the Get Scripting podcast.
Hi, my name's Ben Pierce, and I'm not a legend either. I work for Microsoft, and I run a lot of PowerShell training courses, and I'm speaking on later on the week.
Hi, I'm Richard Sidaway. I run the UK PowerShell user group.
Hi, I'm Dmitry Sotnikov. I'm the guy behind PowerGUI and Quest AD Commandlets.
Hi, I'm James O'Neill. I'm a Microsoft IT Pro Evangelist, so I actually look after user groups. And when I'm not doing that, I write quite a few PowerShell libraries for things.
Hi, I'm Tobias Weltner, the guy behind PowerShell Plus.
Howdy, I'm Jeffrey Snover, architect for Windows PowerShell.
I'm Mark van Ossau, a PowerShell MVP, better known as Mowar, the PowerShell guy.
Great, thanks guys. So let's get it kicked off. PowerShell, we found out recently, is going to be installed by default in Windows 7 and Windows 2008 Release 2. Do you think this will change PowerShell from being a nice-to-have skill amongst admins to being something that's a core skill required?
Yes.
Yeah, was it a question?
Yep. With it in Windows 7 and 2008 R2, it's got to be a must-learn. If you don't learn it, you're not going to be able to work with the servers.
Yeah, I'll follow up on that. I think there are some skills that you really do find become mandatory skills, and there will be a place for people who can work without PowerShell, but they'll be confined to doing everything in the GUI. The IT pro who can actually script stuff, do things efficiently, bring stuff back to the customers in his business quickly, that person is going to go a lot further than the person who's tied to working in the GUI. So I think you will be able to work without it. You just will be limiting your own career if you do. So that's my take on it. Jeffrey, I guess you've probably got a view on this, given that you're obviously one of the people most interested to see it pushed forward into the product.
Yeah, actually, I think it was a mandatory requirement even before that. The only issue is that it's now easier because you can assume that it's everywhere. But the bottom line, it's all about productivity. Admins that use the command line, that do scripting, that focus, you know, and focus on automation, are more productive admins. And as you say, look, if I'm a boss and I have a budget pool, I'm going to give it to the people who are the most productive, you know. And so you say, well, I don't like command lines. I like GUI. So that's great. You know, we fully support you. Full stop. Fully support you. But at the end of the year, as a boss, I'm going to look to see who accomplished what. And if you're pursuing automation, then this year you're more productive than that. Next year you build on those scripts and you're more productive and more productive. And at some point you outpace your colleagues and you get the bigger pie of the budget.
That sounds good to me.
It's math, right? It's physics. We designed it for that.
Absolutely. So anyone else on that topic? Okay. Currently, PowerShell, if you want to install it, you've got to download it apart from Windows 2008, so XP Vista. Would it be a good idea to make it available via Windows Update, so make it easier to deploy, upgrade, make it available in WSUS?
I think that today for PowerShell V1, it's probably not as important as it is going to be in PowerShell V2, because with all the remoting stuff coming in, actually being able to just expect PowerShell to be on all the boxes around your network so you can just start managing all your servers and desktops using that remoting and just know that PowerShell is there is going to be a big deal. So I think that for PowerShell V2, it actually makes a lot of sense to use Windows Update or another mechanism and let administrators push PowerShell easily to all those systems, even XPs and 2003s.
I think with it going into 7 and into 2008 R2, you're going to start seeing it on a lot of boxes in the environment. An easy way to push it out to the rest is going to make life a lot easier.
So any plans for that, Jeffrey?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot here. Let's put it this way. I've got nothing to announce, and but the desire is clearly clearly understood. Just a matter of, you know, what the work involved and who has to say yes and all that good stuff. Bribing the right people, getting the right pictures of them in compromising positions, that sort of thing.
There is also a little bit of a pushback on sending too many things out through Windows Update. So lots of different interest groups, both inside Microsoft and in the different communities, will say, oh yeah, this should become a standard part of Windows. Please add it through Windows Update and make it either an important flagged update or a mandatory one. And actually, customers tend to be a little bit nervy of us pushing things out and saying you really must have this and you really must have that. So just be a little bit cautious that we have to show a little bit of restraint about what becomes a standard update through Windows Update.
You know, that's a great point. When we talk about these things like Windows, you have to have a business justification. I mean, what is it that you're trying to accomplish, and why do you want to do it? For instance, do you want it available to every user on the planet, or just business users, right? And so think through those issues and be crisp and clear about what it is you're trying to solve.
So maybe, is there a possibility for WSUS rather than Windows Update?
Well, that's the point, is you do Windows Update in order to feed WSUS, and that makes sense for business SKUs, for instance, but perhaps not for home SKUs. Mm. Those are the sort of conversations that we're having.
Okay, interesting, thanks. So, moving on. A question from the audience.
Yeah, I'll repeat the question.
So, the question from the gentleman is, there's a new training course for PowerShell, official Microsoft training course, but there's no certification requirements for it. Perhaps you can elaborate on that.
I think that there shouldn't be. I think they should adopt what the exchange exams are doing and have PowerShell content in them, but not a specific PowerShell exam, because I think it will put a lot of admins off. If you see it as part of your day-to-day job, then that's the best way for it to get in.
I was going to say almost the same thing, that we don't have a separate Active Directory exam, and we don't have a separate deployment services exam, that those form part of other exams. And so the idea of having a PowerShell exam, PowerShell is a skill that should go across all the other bits. And if you're an Exchange admin, you should know how to use PowerShell to manage Exchange. You don't necessarily need to know all the ins and outs of PowerShell and say, okay, I am a PowerShell scripting guru. You just need to know enough PowerShell to do the job on your specific area. So if you look at what's coming in for Server 2008 R2, if you take Active Directory, we've now got PowerShell for managing AD. So you'd expect an AD administrator to be able to do tasks with PowerShell. So though that's the way to get it into the exam syllabus, not to make it its own exam.
Yeah, actually, I'd have to agree with that. You know, we don't have an exam for, do you know how to use a mouse and a keyboard, right? Because, boy, you can't do anything unless you do. And I sort of think the same thing will happen with PowerShell. You know, you just, geez, how else could you do your job?
Thank you. PowerShell has a number of security features. From the point of view of a security officer, what kind of things should they be looking out for? They may know about VB scripts and stuff like that, how to contain that in their environment. What should they know about PowerShell?
That one? So with PowerShell, there's four different execution policies that you can run under. You can run like VB script, which is completely unrestricted. Any script gets in my environment, it executes and kills your forest or whatever. You then got remote sign, which means that any scripts that come down from a remote source must be signed by a certificate that you trust in order to run, which is a lot more secure. Or you've got all signed, which is pretty much the most secure way, whereby you can say, right, any script that's going to run must be signed by a certificate that I trust. And certainly on my high availability systems, I would look at trying to implement that kind of stuff. If you've got PKI out there, so you've got certificates in place, then certainly on your high available machine, start saying, well, actually, I'm going to make sure that the only scripts that run on this are going to be signed, and the only way they get signed is they've gone through appropriate testing. There's a good process for change control and that kind of stuff. And then you can actually start to minimize the amount of malicious scripts or inappropriate scripts or accidental scripts that get run, and hopefully therefore increase the uptime.
Great. Anyone else on security?
I'd say that the key thing that people have to understand about PowerShell is that it's secure by default. That we designed this language and implemented this language after Bill's famous trustworthy computing memo. And therefore, you know, everything from the architecture to the design to the implementation, everything was built secure by default and with security forefront in our mind, right? So, you know, you can safely deploy PowerShell in your environment, because anywhere there's a risk, you're going to have to make a decision, and we go out of our way to educate you about the decision. Here's what choices you have to make. And here are the ramifications of those choices. Here's what you get if you do this. Here are the risks associated with doing it. And so you make a series of conscious decisions. So, and you can see that in our remoting as well. With the remoting, it's not turned on by default. You have to enable it. When you enable it, you can set it up so that you have different ACLs on different endpoints and can expose subsets of the functions to those different endpoints. It's not an all or nothing thing. But fundamentally, you have to understand that the team is psychotic when it comes to being, you know, just beyond reproach in terms of security.
The one thing I would take people back to is, though, we start very secure, and it always worries me when I see people giving the advice that the first thing you do when you install PowerShell is turn the security off. You actually need to go through exactly the steps that Ben described of saying, there are these particular servers where I need to be very strict with my change control about what gets run on them, and I use signing of my PowerShell scripts to do that. The team have done all the work, and please, please, customers, don't go and just disable it.
Yeah, exactly, because PowerShell is very powerful, and it's a good proof case of if your permissions are set up correctly. If they're not set up correctly, you might have gotten away with it today, but the next time you use PowerShell and you do something with it and you have lowered security, you may just delete things that you didn't want to delete. Again, there's a great security by default, and the team really did a good job, but if you lower it, please be aware of the consequences.
Yeah, you know, it's like a chainsaw, right? Chainsaws are great, but if you use them inappropriately, bad things will happen. So you want to educate, you know, just don't pull out that chainsaw and give it to your kid. Have fun. And I say, wait, you know, let's, before you play with that chainsaw, let's learn, you know, what's good. See this part? Don't put your hand on that part. Same thing. It's a very powerful tool. Learn where it's safe to use. Learn where it's dangerous to use. And don't juggle with it.
There's a sign that I sometimes see on power tools which says, do not remove this safety guard. And you kind of look at them and you think, well, who does remove the safety guard? But that's exactly what Jeffrey's describing. Some people want to take the safety guards off and use the circular saw or chainsaw without the safety equipment. Don't do it.
Thanks. So with PowerShell, we've had a lot of contributions from third-party vendors, for instance, Quest, PowerShell Plus, and also from the community, people like Mo. How has this been as good or better than Microsoft would have expected? Mo, you go for this one.
I say it's better as Microsoft expected. Yeah, it's better as Microsoft expected. And actually, I'm very waiting for PowerShell to pick up some of the extra tab completion, like Tobias also did in PowerShell Plus. I think it's a great, it gets some extra accessibility with that, what also, yeah, really helps. And for example, the community extensions, here is also a very good set of extra commandlets. And you see now in V2 that some commandlets are taking over. So it's also, I might say, Microsoft could get some ideas from the community and for implementing in the next versions. And I think the team is doing a good job in following the community and seeing what's it living there. I think it's really great to see how the community evolves around PowerShell.
And how about from Microsoft? Has it been a good...
I've been really impressed, actually, with the level of community take-up we've had with PowerShell. Having seen some of the projects that have gone on to places like CodePlex, having seen the demand, I put one of my projects onto CodePlex and I was expecting it to get kind of probably into the low three figures downloads, and it's had about 10 times the number of downloads I expected. So there's more people actually using stuff that goes out into the community. I'm going to rope in Dimitri in a second, because I know that some of the stuff that's been done with PowerGUI that's then built on top of things that other people have written has meant we've kind of had this virtuous circle with PowerShell, that one person in the community does something and then somebody else in the PowerShell community builds on top of that. And so stuff that I've done and other people have done have been picked up and turned into power packs for PowerGUI. And I have been impressed with this. And I'm sitting here trying to think of another product from Microsoft that has had the same kind of community take up, and I can't think of one at the moment. Maybe I will before we leave the question.
Right. Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, and I think that the fact that a lot of those projects are actually on CodePlex or say PowerGUI PowerPacks, I mean, like both of them are basically open source formats, so people take that. James posted the script library for like Hyper-V, then Kirk created a power pack out of that, and now people are taking that power pack, and again that they're reading those scripts, they're adding the scripts of their own, so it's a very vibrant community where people are starting to use PowerShell for a lot of platforms, even the platforms like Hyper-V, which natively just have WMI support. People are creating their script libraries, so they're not waiting for Microsoft to come up with commandlets. They're actually starting to work together, different people from different communities, and then contributing that back to the community, which I think is very important, and which is just a great thing to see.
I think the number of people sat up here who actually are from the community rather than from Microsoft answer the question.
Yeah, can I say that we focused, I spent a lot of time studying technology adoption, in particular language adoption. And, you know, right now there's a lot of buzz about Ruby, 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 Ruby. Do you have any idea how old Ruby is? Ruby's 15 years old, right? But it seems like this brand new newcomer. And the reason for that is these technologies just take forever to get adopted and spread through the community. So I understood that when we released this, and frankly, I've just been shocked at the rate of adoption of PowerShell. We're approaching now 3 million downloads, and that doesn't include all the people using it because it's installed in Windows Server 08. And the number of people in the community that have adopted it is just fantastic. So I have to say, it's a rocket. It's far beyond anything we had anticipated. And I think it speaks to both the need and the approach we took. I mean, we did spend a lot of time focusing in on the value chain, right? Which is to say, how much code do you have to put in and what value do you get out? And if you get those two right, magic can happen. That's what we tried to do.
Excellent. So PowerShell, there's a couple of different approaches that have come with certain products. For instance, Exchange, you've got the GUI based on top of PowerShell. Other products are taking a slightly different approach. Do you think in the future we will see a convergence where everyone takes a similar approach, or will it stay like this? Do we even need to have a similar approach?
So I think the answer for that comes from the CEC, which is the Common Engineering Criteria. So the Common Engineering Criteria is published on Microsoft.com, and it's basically a set of standards that all the server tools products must adhere to. And in 2009, PowerShell is going to be added to that. So from 2009, every server tools product that comes out from Microsoft will have feature complete PowerShell support. So like Exchange, like System Center Virtual Machine Manager, like Data Protection Manager, they're all at the moment very good examples of products integrated with PowerShell. And from 2009, any new product should have, they all should be like that. So at that point, huge convergence, everything PowerShell, long live PowerShell.
Do you think there'll be the same kind of styles, or will different product groups take different approaches?
So I think Jeffrey might be able to answer that in any more depth than I could. I could only guess.
Yeah, so there's a couple answers. So first is, in terms of this idea of layering GUIs on top of PowerShell, I think that the teams that have done that have been very happy with it, and you're going to see more and more of that. Okay. The big issue that I see is the question of providers versus commandlets. Commandlets are commands, and they're very good for table-oriented things. And providers are basically namespaces, a way to project hierarchical namespaces. And people are experimenting with one way versus the other. And there's no clear winner there in my mind. And I'm not sure that there will be a clear winner. You know, I think it all depends, right? It's like in martial arts, right? Is it feet or feet? You know, feet are fists. And the answer is, well, it depends. You know, sometimes feet are good, sometimes fists are good. And if you're in the back in a corner in a bar fight, it's your elbows and knees. So, you know, it kind of depends upon the circumstances. There's no clear winner. Or your head, right? Usually you try and protect your head, but it's up close. You use your head as a weapon. So it really depends upon the task that you have and what is the most useful.
Jeffrey, I'm shocked that you actually know these fighting techniques.
Look, while I'm drinking tonight, you'll see what I mean.
I'm worried now.
I think the important point is that PowerShell is there. If it's a provider, if it's commandlets, it doesn't really matter as long as it's there. The way it's provided will evolve over time, and I think the most important thing is that it's there and usable.
And I think also there are a couple different ways where you can use PowerShell. For example, a good editor can be very important if you write a lot of production scripts and make things. But as I think Bruce Piette said, for me, 80% of my scripts are from the prompt to the carriage return, only one-liners. I often use PowerShell just as a shell to get some quick things done with a couple of one-liners. And if I have to use it more, then I make it a production script and I go to, or make it a power pack or use a different editor. So there are different ways to use PowerShell and there are different tools to help you with that.
I was going to just pick up on one other thing about commandlets. And I think one of the major things with PowerShell is the kind of limits it puts on vocabulary so that we don't have lots of commands that are completely different in their nature. So that you know, for example, if there are going to be a set of Active Directory commandlets, you're probably going to have a bunch of get commandlets, and they will get different things, and you'll get an object back that you can do something with. Ben and I were trying to do some stuff from the command line configuring something that doesn't support PowerShell earlier on, and I think it was about 9 different words in a command chain that had no way of discovering them, no way of learning them whatsoever. And a lot of what we've done to date has spawned its own command line tools where there's no commonality between any two tools. If you look, for example, at just the tools you use for configuring TCP/IP. IPconfig is completely different from all the other tools because it uses slashes and the others use minuses. So in PowerShell, you'd have something like set IPconfig. And the stuff to work from the command line becomes easier to learn because you've got similar syntax for all the commands and similar vocabulary for all the commands. And I think that's actually a much more important thing that PowerShell kind of imposes on the other products rather than letting those other products say, oh yeah, we'll go and spawn these utilities and the syntax of them will be whatever seemed like a good idea to the product group that particular Friday afternoon.
Yeah, actually, so there's another thing about this commands versus namespace. People are doing some very creative things with that. The Centro group, what do we end up calling Centro? Essential server?
essential business server. So basically a server product focused in at the medium business. They've got a nice graphical user interface, and they also have command line support. And they just recently showed me a prototype. Right, this is a prototype, you can't get this, right? But basically they provided a drive, a PowerShell drive, and you CD'd into it, and you did a dir, and what you saw were all the tabs from the GUI. And then you CD'd into that, and basically the namespace was a perfect mirror of the user interface. It was brilliant, just brilliant. So I think people are going to do some interesting experiments. Some of them are going to succeed, some of them are going to fail. And as a community, we'll kind of look at them and laugh at the people who fail and admire and copy the people who succeed. And then each year, we'll just get smarter and smarter.
Absolutely. So, go for it, Richard.
And I think that last point is the most important one, that PowerShell is only 2 years old, it is evolving, it is changing, and I think if we had this discussion 2 years on, we'd have probably a different view on it, and it needs to get out there and get used more so that we can get some kind of consensus on how we want to use it.
Okay, so we touched on this a little bit earlier, PowerShell adoption. What do you think will cause the next major leap in PowerShell take-up amongst admins?
I think it's mostly just platform support. I think that, obviously there are geeks, including probably most of the guys here on stage today, who might just love PowerShell for its syntax and its internal architectural beauty and whatever the concepts, and who love that dollar underscore thing and... sorry for that. But I think for for most IT professionals, it's a matter of platform, just platform support. I mean, until I have like AD commandlets, I cannot really manage Active Directory with PowerShell. So if I am an AD admin, then I might not care. Same thing for Exchange. Before Exchange 2007 was released with all those wonderful and really, really well architected and thought out Exchange commandlets, why would Exchange admins even care about PowerShell? So now with more and more teams within Microsoft and also third-party vendors and other platforms like Citrix and VMware, now that they are adopting PowerShell as well, I think that's the biggest thing. I think that will make IT professionals care and use it, because it's going to be just useful for their day job.
For me, I think there are three things that will move PowerShell to the next level. So the first thing we've already talked about, which is the support from all the different pieces of software that are out there. The second thing is the fact that at the moment, it's not installed by default on any operating systems. So if you invest in PowerShell skills, and actually you then can't administer all your clients, well, you know, it's not so useful. So the fact that it will ship with the operating system is a huge thing. And then the third thing for me is remoting. So at the moment, in version 1, everything you do locally, and that's great. But now in version 2, as we'll start to see, you know, I can sit here on my Vista box, on my Windows 7 box, administering all these other servers using exactly the same PowerShell commands that I know and love locally, as well as on other boxes remotely. So for me, support for products, the fact that PowerShell will be everywhere, and the fact that I can do everything remotely, they're all the blockers for me gone, and I think people will start to use PowerShell a lot more.
I agree. Now, Ed, I would like to see more UI elements in the server management that result in PowerShell code so that I can just do things by example, and then I get the code, and I don't have to start with a blank page. Instead, I can just go ahead and modify scripts that the system created for me. I think that will be a major breakthrough, too.
And I think the fact that it's going to be in a lot more products and in a lot more places, people will get exposed to it more, see how easy it is, how easy it makes their job, and once people have twigged just how easy it makes their job, that's when it really takes off.
The comment about the scripts from the GUI, I think, is a really important one, though. That as PowerShell gets into more and more products, it becomes easier for the IT pro to say, okay, this product will show me a PowerShell script to do the task I've just done. Now, let me go and see if I can take that and modify it and use to do something in bulk. Now, if you can just get that in Exchange, that kind of brings a few people in. If you get it in Exchange and for Active Directory and for Virtual Machine Manager and for System Center and so on, then when you get that in lots and lots of places, then that it begins to say to the IT pro, well, actually, that skill that I picked up by editing that script I saw in Exchange transfers into all these other places that I work. And so those two things converge to drive the thing forward. And that I think, is actually a really important one.
In my view, there's kind of two humps to this. First is, what does it take to get people to first use PowerShell? And then what does it take for PowerShell to transform the way they manage their environment? The first is, the first big hump there is just, so many of you mentioned, the adoption by product teams, right? So a lot of people don't pick up PowerShell. They pick up Exchange 2007. And guess what? If you want to use Exchange 2007, use PowerShell. Now, indeed, there are the advanced users, geeks who love it, and it's great. But mostly it's going to be people who now pick up the latest version of SQL or the latest version of X, Y, or Z, and it's got PowerShell support, and they start using it there. Then, when you see that kind of next increase of, oh my heavens, this just transforms the way we do business, it's when you see the fact that now you've learned PowerShell, and now the second product supports it, and the third product supports it, and your ability to pick up and exploit and use new technology very quickly and easily because of that. And then the things Ben mentioned, and you can assume that it's everywhere. You can now perform these scripts against a large number of machines. And there you go. Happy.
So we use PowerShell a lot for system management. At the same time, there's a lot of system management products out there. Do you see PowerShell killing those products off or being used in conjunction to make them better?
I don't see PowerShell killing them off because PowerShell is a way to use the functionality. It's not necessarily an binary alternative to the GUI, but it's a way to be more productive. So I think the whole tool set, you've got to look at it as a whole, not just as PowerShell replacing the other things.
I'll let you get in a second, Dimitri, because I know Quest have obviously got a very, very clear view on this one. But I'd almost say to an ISV, this is the way that Microsoft's driving stuff. Our management utilities expose what they do through PowerShell commandlets. Increasingly, that's the way we're going. Now, if you think that Microsoft's model for developing software has generally been a successful one, then that might be a technique you want to look at adopting. And the skill is not in so much in the PowerShell commandlets. The skill's in all the stuff underneath that. That's where the value comes from. And then PowerShell becomes a useful selling point because you can say to people, this has a great scripting language, and guess what? You already know the syntax of that language. We've just augmented it with a number of our commands. But all the stuff that we brought to the table, all the management expertise of a company like Quest, for example, that's still in there. It's still in the product. And PowerShell adds to that rather than supplanting it.
Yeah, I actually wanted to give a plug not to Quest, but to SpecOps. since Thornbjorn is looking at me from the audience. I think that in a lot of cases, you can actually see PowerShell being a platform which is enabling ISVs to go to the next level, like SpecOps, for example, with their tool, with SpecOps command, letting you use PowerShell across your desktops, across your servers.
And Quest. Great product.
Okay, and Quest, great products, whatever.
Yeah, so, I've spent the majority of my 28 years in the business in system and network management, so I can answer this with conviction, and the answer is absolutely not. In the past, the gold standard for great command line support, great coverage, great utilities has been Unix. They, hats off to that community. They got it early on. They did a great job. And the bottom line is the bulk of the management industry is spent trying to build management tools to manage distributed Unix boxes. So we just have a clear demonstration that that's not the case, that these become additive things, that the problems of management and trying to optimize management and optimize resources is so large that people will build on these tools and build the next generation of tools on them. The one thing I can also say pretty definitively is that I think that if you're a managing product and you don't have a plan to leverage PowerShell, Well, if that was a stock, I'd be shorting it.
I think the comment about the Unix admins is a very good one, in that I work with quite a few of real hardcore Unix admins, and when they've seen PowerShell, they've been totally blown away by it, and they're now switching to the light rather than the dark.
Also, no? I think it's another reason for PowerShell adoption for other products. It's so easy to make your product cryptable by just adding the PowerShell engine to it. Normally, spend a lot of time for scripting environments within applications. And just by using PowerShell, you get a consistent scripting environment within your application. I think that would be also an enabler for the other products, not keeping them away, but just getting them into the mainstream.
Yeah, actually, have you guys been watching this arms race between VMware and Hypervisor and Virtual Machine Manager? I just love that. So what happened was, you know, Virtual Machine Manager, version one product, you know, in Microsoft, when you ship a version one product, you have to cut so many features in order to get the features that you have to be very high quality. But because they PowerShell enabled everything, they're able to go and say, well, you know, when people ask, well, what about this? Historically, the answer would be, oh, sorry, we had to cut that. We couldn't get it. We'll try and get it in the next version. Now the answer is, yeah, you can do it. Here's how you do it. It's on my blog, and you deliver code that way. Well, now VMware, they have PowerShell support, and they've been doing the same things. A couple weeks ago, I saw this great blog where they were saying, oh, you know, Hypervisor, they have that feature, and I don't know, it was only they either couldn't do it or it was only available in their most expensive SKU, and so somebody released like 100-line PowerShell script and said, you can do it here with us too. And so the nice thing is that when you take your product and you expose PowerShell support for that product, it gives you, you know, business agility in the marketplace. And once folks figure that out, once people really figure out that PowerShell enables business agility, it's game over. You're going to see everybody doing it. So that's why I just love this arms race between them. And the great point of that is that the customers are benefiting. You know, and so yay, yay, yay.
Okay, well, finally, we've got a CTP out of version 2 of PowerShell. What one feature would each of you guys like to get in to the final version that's not there?
I don't really know. So the feature that I want in there, absolutely, is remoting, and it's there. That's it. Done.
If I had to have one thing, a scheduler.
I think that if I had to add something in, I would probably, instead of adding more features in, I would make sure that the ones that actually get shipped are more complete and more finished. So I think there's that version 2 issue. You release version 1 and you're starting getting like a lot of feedback and a lot of feature requests, and then I'm sure a lot of product teams within Microsoft are coming to the PowerShell team and asking, like, give us remoting, give us eventing, give us background jobs, whatever. So I think Jeffrey being a good guy and the PowerShell team being a very good team, they obviously want to help everyone. And I think the risk is that you might want to like serve everyone and release things which are good enough for those product teams, but don't give you that polished experience as an IT pro, for example. Like today's background jobs don't give you proper objects as results, right? Today's eventing is basically .NET eventing for developers, hard to use for IT pros, etc., etc. That's totally fine for CTP, but I think if you try to keep adding more and more things, you might end up having those unfinished features in the released version, which might damage adoption rather than help it. So I would say don't add anything. Just finish the stuff.
Yeah, I'm kind of in line with Dimitri here that I don't want to see too much put into PowerShell itself. That part of the appeal of PowerShell is it's this great environment for adding other pieces into. So I don't want to see lots and lots of stuff added. I don't want to see 1,000 new commandlets. That I would like to see PowerShell itself stick to what it's really good at. And then I'd like to see the team going out and talking to other parts of the Microsoft community and saying, guys, you've got to write your modules or providers or snap-ins, but your part for PowerShell. Now, only yesterday I got my first look at what's happened with Active Directory for the next release. And that, to me, seems exactly the right way to go. That's not part of PowerShell itself, but it's been provided by the AD team, and I think the role for Jeffrey's team is not so much to keep bolting more and more onto PowerShell, but to get other people to write their add-ins to extend what the PowerShell team have done.
I would like to see a lot more basic commandlets for admin tasks, and I'm very excited to hear, like what you say, that there are going to be a lot more commandlets from the different product groups. I just don't know what it's going to be. You know more than I do. So I'm really excited to see that.
Yes, actually it's the same here. It's not really things. Remoting was a very big issue. Eventing, they added now. And now it's up to, like in the Windows 7 beta, how many new commandlets are coming with the operating system, with other products. It's, get more applications PowerShell enabled, and the whole OS, every functionality should be available. And that's the big risk for V2 and next versions.
Yeah, whenever you do a release, I like to say that nobody cares about your first million lines of code, right? Because that's what it takes to play. And then all of a sudden, once you have that, right, because you do all that scaffolding and the user doesn't see much value in it. But then once it's there, you can write 500 lines of code and stitch it together and you look like a god. Wow, that's an amazing 500 lines of code because you stitched together the code underneath it. So in version 1, we did some great stuff, but in version 2, we were able to, we delivered a bunch of great stuff, but we had a lot of great architecture that we were able to take advantage of in version 2. So it just looks like this incredible amount of innovation in version 2. So yay. But in addition to that, we also did a lot of additional core architecture, which indeed, as you say, we haven't had a time to then take advantage of. And that usually comes the release after. So you always, each release, you deliver a bunch of stuff and you deliver a bunch of architecture. And then often that the exploitation of that architecture comes in the next release. So I'd agree it would be great if you could somehow do the architecture and have enough time to take advantage of it in the same release. I haven't figured out how to do that yet.
Okay, thanks guys. Thanks for joining us today. And special thank you to PowerShellCommunity.org for helping us get all these guys together in the same place at the same time. Thank you.